Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode contains scenes which are not suitable for children and which some listeners may find distressing. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
I get a level. You tell me who you are.
Now? Yeah. My name's Joel O'Callaghan. People probably know me as Joey O'Callaghan. I remember the drive, like, and it just went on for, it definitely went on for 2.5, about 2 hours, I'd say. And we're all in the back of this little, in the back of this car, the whole family in the back of the car, my man and I in the front, you know what I mean? Boxes all over us and all. It was just took forever. And then we pull up, and it was absolutely gorgeous, like, lovely house, everything. But it was just there. Yeah, that was it. That's when it all began. I thought I had a bad life then, but that's when it all began, yeah. He moved to Blanchestown. They still know the address. I could go there in my sleep. But yeah, I wish it never happened.
We grew up, like, when we moved from Ballymun, that's where we moved to. So you turn right and turn left, and then I bring you to my ma's house, pulling left into the, in here, into the cul-de-sac. Kenny used to pick me up here. Let's drive right down and just stop the car here. That was our house there, look. The second house either.
Oh yeah, without the car, without the...
No car in the garden, yeah. So what happened was that's where I was, look, in the garden, and that's where I was. So that was the front door. That was my bedroom, see, over the door. Mm-hmm. And that was the sitting room. And I was actually in the sitting room. I think I was playing the computer at the time, and the doorbell went. And when I opened the doorbell, just where we're parked here, there was a van, a milk float, and when I opened the doorbell, he was just standing there. And that's when I said, like, who are you? And he said, I'm the milkman.
This is the witness, in his own words. Episode 1, The Milkman. I was going to ask you, what's your earliest memory?
My earliest memory probably would be living in the four stories in Sillaug Avenue in Ballymun. I don't remember much earlier than that. I know my ma and dad had the house up in Poppenshire, but I don't remember living there. I just remember living with my ma and my sisters in the flats in Sillaug Avenue. It was very cramped. Everyone kind of lived on top of each other, but everyone knew each other. It was rough. The flat stank. There was writing all over the walls, piss all over the landings, shit. Junkies everywhere. I don't know, back then people used to call it the Bronx. My mum and dad obviously separated a couple of months after I was born. They had quite a volatile relationship. My dad was very violent towards my ma, so I think by the time I came around, I think my ma was about 28. I think she kind of finally had enough of the beatings and the drink and the abuse. After my ma and dad separated, my ma went from being with my dad into another relationship. She met a local man, and within a couple of months, the same thing that was happening with my dad was happening with him. He was beating my ma, he was beating me, he was beating my sisters. And it was awful, like, because I lived in the flat and I could see it. Well, I never seen my dad hit my ma. And to see somebody you don't know, like some stranger in the house coming and beating my ma and beating my sisters, was hard. I remember being a kid, like, trying to grab his leg and trying to get him to stop, like. So anything I could do to get away from the flat to get to my dad was, because that was my safe haven. That was where me and the girls could go to get away from my ma's partner beating us and beating my ma and to drinking. And I looked up to him, like he was my world that I'd lived. I felt safe when I was with my dad. My dad was a big rawhead. He hated drugs. He was anti-drugs. He would have a lot of men around the house. He would have a lot of blokes coming in and drinking. He would have meetings. My dad sprayed someone's name on the shop one day, and the next day they'd be evicted from the house. And that would just be because him and his associates they'd find out they were selling heroin or selling. Well, heroin was the big thing back then, and it was a big epidemic. It was needles everywhere. There was our neighbours were on it. I can't say any of my family were on it because they weren't, but that was because of fear of my dad. And then I think it put fear in him seeing other kids like that, and he didn't want us to end up like that.
When you were a kid, you know, what was your understanding of what was wrong with these people or what was going on with them?
Ma used to say they were sick. Ma used to always say they were sick. My dad was completely different. My dad would be like, they're fucking scumbags, they're junkies, and you stay away from them. If any of them ever come near you, come and tell me. Well, I used to always feel bad on them, but I was scared of them as well. They were like skeletons. Like, you come up and down the stairs and there'd be people shooting up in their arms, shooting up in their feet, and shooting up in their groin, and shooting up in their neck. And this would be all day, every day. People having sex on the stairs. And you have to remember, when you used to come into the blocks back then, because of the stairways, and it was scary, there was an underneath the stairs. And then if the lights didn't work, you coming in there at night time and you just see your foot moving, bodies moving, grunting noises. And they were just everywhere. And they were like aliens going up and down the flats and begging for money, robbing you. Like, they'd rob us as kids. We used to play football and you'd put your jackets down to make goals. You turn around, your coat's be gone. Your mammy running up the street with your coat. And then you'd see the dealers coming, and there'd be so many flats, and then you'd see a fella coming up on a bike or a car pull up, and it was just like 20, 30, 40, 50 junkies coming out of all the blocks, running to one guy, and then everyone getting their drugs, and then they all just disperse into the distance. And then they're fighting between themselves over drugs, and slashing each other, and stabbing each other, and half of them couldn't even fight, they were that over, falling over walls, and breaking into the houses in the local area. It was just shocking, like, it was just everywhere. It was just drugs. But back then, Ballymun sucked the life out of people. And the drugs in Ballymun sucked the life out of people. Where there's loads of good people that come from Ballymun. But also drink, drugs, alcohol, physical, mental, and sexual abuse, kind of. That's all that was involved in that area. And I just think every second family suffered from one or the other.
I mean, one thing that I guess I hadn't really realised about Ballymun before, it's just like how many kids there were.
Yeah, there's loads of us.
But to have so many people your own age around, like, did that make it like a fun place to grow up?
Yeah, we had the playground, the front of the flatty. There was a big playground and there was a hill and we used to camp out and so all the kids played out the front. We all played football and hide and seek, kicked the can. The flats were good, like, in the summers and all, they were good. Everyone was really close, like, and you couldn't do anything. Like, if you done anything, that was bad. My ma would know, like, as soon as she got home work, like, she'd know, like. I never really got into trouble much in Ballymun. It was only when we moved to Blanchardstown I got into trouble. Ma met Niall when they were kids. They actually grew up on the same road. He went to school with my ma's brother. He came from good stock, good family as well. They hadn't seen each other in years, and I think they met actually on a night out. My ma and Niall met on a night out, and obviously whatever happened, they started dating, and she didn't want to force this relationship on us this time, where to one after me dad, she kind of just forced it upon us. But this time I think my mum was kind of like, no, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not going to just introduce anyone to my kids. I'm not going to put them through that again. I'm not going to have them hit again. I'm not going to have myself hit. So I think she was kind of learning then. The older my mum was getting, she was like, she was slowing down a bit. Not that she wasn't happy to meet Noel, but she just didn't want to just throw him on top of us, like, force him on us. Which I think worked, and I think everyone met him gradually, and we met him bit by bit, and he was just absolutely amazing. Like, lovely gentleman. Like, there's not a bad thing you could say about him. My change, there was a complete shift in her. She was happier. She enjoyed going to work. She stopped going to the pub all the time. She was in the flat all the time. She was cooking dinners. She was checking, bringing us to school, picking us up. And the girls were happier. Natalie was happier. Life just changed. Christmases were getting better. Birthdays were better. We're getting new clothes. Mom was able to afford more things. Everything was just more positive. And there were happy times, I remember. Like, besides the good times with my dad I had, they were the best memories I have of my childhood. And then they just turned around and just, well, in my words, they just turned around and just fuck it all up then. Everything's going grand, and then they sit us down, call us all like a family meeting in the flat. I thought, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a dog or something. We were getting a surprise or something. And then my man, Noel, turned and said, I'm moving to Blanchardstown tomorrow. And I was like, what? I'm not moving to Blanchardstown. And I'm looking at Noel. I'm like, I barely even know you. Like, you're only here 5 minutes and you moved me to Blanchardstown. But yeah, I just didn't want to go. My heart was broken because Ballymun was all I knew. I know bad things happened. Yes, I was abused. Yes, I seen my mum got beaten. Yes, I know we had an awful life. But there was good things as well. And that's all I'd ever known. And to go, be taken away. I think it was more to be taken away from my dad than Ballymun. Because I kind of understood he wanted to have a better life. But I didn't want to leave my dad. And I knew there was once I left Ballymun that it'd never be the same. Because I spent so much time with him. Every weekend I was with him. Every summer, for the whole summer. Like 3 months with my dad. Didn't have to go home. So broke my heart, and then I just hated Noel. I was just like, I don't want nothing got to do with him. Like, I mean, he just turned up and he did that ruining everything. Like, they're bringing me to Blanchardstown.
Like, you started in a new school and you had to leave friends behind and new friends to be made and stuff. And like, did you find that easy to do, or was that difficult?
Very difficult, yeah. It was very, very difficult. Left school, left everything I know, like all my friends. Like, Ballymun was like a big family. Everyone in the blocks, everyone knew each other. Like, everyone done everything together at Ballymun. It was a real close knit community. Like, but Blanchardstown wasn't like that. Yeah, it was a complete difference. This was real. Like, you didn't know your next door neighbour. You didn't know the kid across the street. You didn't know the kid down the street. And then obviously leaving school, I was losing all my friends. And everyone kept saying, oh, it's only an hour and a half bus journey. My mum, I'll give you the money to go back and forward. But after a month or so, the novelty wore off. I knew my dad wasn't going to come and see me. Dad said he would, but I knew there was no way he was going to come to Blanchardstown to see me. So I used to get the bus out to him, like. But even after a while, it just got too much, like. Yeah, the neighbours, everything was just different, like. It was just so quiet. There was never anything to do. I was bored. There was nothing to do, and it was all fields back then, Blanchardstown. This was only a new estate, but there wasn't many new estates, and there was just fields everywhere. The centre wasn't there, Blanchardstown centre wasn't there, nothing like that was there. So there was nothing to do, and I was just sitting on the wall all the time, and all I wanted was just to go back to Ballymun. There was just nothing to do. I went to school, joined the new school. It was just, didn't know anybody, couldn't make friends. Natalie was with me. She started joining the same school. I was worried about Natalie. I had to look after her because obviously I was her older brother. I had none of my other brothers there. I had no friends. Natalie, she settled in real quick. She made love with the friends. She was cool. I was just getting into trouble. No, I just didn't get on with anybody. People slagged me from being from Ballymun. It was really difficult.
Was there
sort of a discrimination kind of thing against people from Ballymun? Was there a sense of...
Yeah, you get a lot of stick over the drugs. They'd be like, oh, your family's scumbags. And it was because you were different. I don't know. They just gave me an awful time because I was different. Because I was from Ballymun. Everyone smackheads out there. You want to watch him? He'll rob you. He's from Ballymun. All this stuff. Spent half my time sitting outside the principal's office for fighting, because I was just getting into trouble all the time because you were just getting a stick, And I tried to stay away from it, but I just kept getting bullied and bullied all the time. And stopped eventually. But I had to get into a lot of trouble for it. Natalie was after getting a Walkman. And Natalie was in a different yard from me in the school where we played out in the school. And I see somebody came and said, your sister's crying or something. So I went around the yard and she's crying. She had a Walkman. She said, this fella's had to be trying to take it off. And I'd been getting abuse all day. I had that day from Ballymun. And I goes around the corner with the Walkman. And I look, what's around the corner? I said, where is he? And Natalie says, he's over there. And I said, which one? She said, him. The man turned around and he was 6 foot tall. But I was too late then. I'd already walked towards him and he was coming towards me. And I had the Walkman in the hand, so I smashed it into his face a few times. I said, do you want the Walkman? I said, I'll give it to you now. So I kept him down and I'm smashing the thing off his head. The next minute I hear someone shouting and I run. And it's the caretaker and he runs after me and he couldn't catch me. And I'm getting down to the back gate of the school and he picked up a stone. He hit me in the back of it. In the back with the stone, he threw the stone at me. It's actually the caretaker of the school. He didn't like me either. And I got caught for attacking the fella with the Walkman. So they suspended me, I think, for 2 weeks. And I wasn't allowed back out to the yard ever. So what would happen on the yard time is they would send me home. Because I lived so close to the school, they would send me home for my break. No other student was allowed. But because I kept getting into trouble, they'd send me home for my break. So I'd go home and Niamh worked in the shop, which was right before, was in the middle of the school and the house. So I'd come out of the gate, Niamh would work there, and then the house was there. So Niamh would make me lunch or whatever like that. I'm mad, make lunch, go to work. Sitting in the house having the lunch. I'm sure I was waiting to go back to school, or I was suspended, one or the other. But I think it was one of the days I was just waiting to go back to school. And then the doorbell went. And I go to the front door and I open the door. And there he is. He's just standing there. And that was it. That was the first time I met him. He says, what's the story, young fella? What are you doing? Why aren't you in school? What are you doing here? It was Brian Kenny, the milkman. And he was just there. He was standing at the door, and then within 2 minutes, he was in the kitchen. And then it was just me and him. I'll never understand how quick it happened. I'll never understand how he got through the front door, through the hall, through the sitting room, through the dining room, into the kitchen. And then it was just me and him standing in the kitchen.
So when he showed up, what was he wearing? What did he look like?
I'll never forget it. He was wearing jeans, blue jeans, black shoes with a heel, shorts. He always dressed weird, and a white jacket. And his hair was all, he hadn't got hair. He had a little bit of black hair, and he used to have them gelled back, pushed back. It's hard, a quiff backwards, something out of Greece. But he hadn't got hair, so I don't know why. He probably better off shaving, but that's hair like that. But yeah, so. He always looked weird. He always dressed weird. It didn't match. He was wearing a pair of suit shoes with a pair of jeans. He just looked backwards, Then he had a bum bag on. And then he had all the holes in his face. Big nose. He had all the water, them potholes. I don't know what they're called in your face. He was just real. He was real hyper. He was real forceful. He was real... And he was just a charmer. Like, he was a real charmer. Like, he was real, like I liked him straight away. Like, I thought he was sound. Like, don't get me wrong, I looked at him and he did look weird. Like, he dressed weird straight away. I thought, like, Jesus Christ. But he was real nice. Like, he was sound, like. He told me he was the milkman and that he was there looking to see if my ma wanted to become a customer, buy milk off him. The way our house was, you could see right out onto the main road, you could see through the dining room, so you could see the truck parked outside the house with the guys on the back of it. He was just asking me, like, who did I live with? And I said my sister walked all the road in the shop and my ma walked in the hospital, which she did at the time. And I said, can I have a job? And he said, what age are you? So I think I was 11 or 12 at the time. And I told him. And I said, if you don't believe me, I can show you my birth cert. So he started laughing. And he said, can you run faster? So I can run faster than any of them out there. And he says, yeah, I'll see you on Friday. Pick you up on Friday. He told me the time, I think it was around 6:30. And yeah, that was it then. Tell your ma that I called and I'll see you on Friday. And I was delighted, absolutely thrilled. Couldn't believe it, I was having a job, like. I thought it was the best thing that ever happened. I couldn't wait for ma to come home and I told her that I got a job in the milk room. She thought I was messing, she said, how would you get a job in the milk room? I said, the man was here, she was like, what man? I said, the milkman was here. She was like, what do you mean the milkman was here? I said, yeah, he had to be in here. He only had to go on. Like, he was in the kitchen. She was like, what do you mean there was a man in the kitchen? She was fuming, like, what did you let someone in the house for? How do you know he was a milkman? Do you know what I mean? I said, because he had all the bottles in the back of his truck and all. I was just so naive. Like, I just was like, yeah, come on in. Like, so I was delighted with life. And Ma just thought I was crazy. She thought this isn't really happening. My ma was having none of it. She was like, yeah, suspended from school and you think I'm going to let you go out on a milk truck, like, getting money, like, you know, you're not behaving in school. And then I was like, well, I only done it because I was an athlete, do you know what I mean? So, I was only standing up for my sister, like, so. Anyways, I convinced Ma, I was like, Ma, please, I'll be good in school, but just let me do it. And she could see I wasn't happy in school and I hadn't got many friends. And like I said, man, I'm going to earn my own money. Like, I'll be able to buy my own things. I won't have to keep asking you for stuff all the time. So she went and I spoke about it. And then I mean, called me into the kitchen. And my mum said, well, I'm going to have to sit talk to this fella. Like, I said, yeah, well, let me do the job. Like, let me go on Friday and then I'll tell him to come in. And I'll meet you. Like, so her and I said, won't you behave in school? And your man comes in and sees us. You can go, and that was it then. I couldn't wait. And then Friday came. I remember waiting at the window. I waited for ages. I think he told me he was coming about 5:30. I think I was sitting by the window at 3:00. So I was really excited, to be fair. I waited until I heard him come to the corner and I heard all the bottles rattling in the back of the truck and there was all the other boys on the back of it. And then there was a woman, Rita, blonde hair, big red lipstick with a fag hanging out of her mouth. And him sitting there with the same thing, dressed up in all that funny gear, funny shoes. And I jumped up, couldn't barely get in the back of the truck, dived in the back of the truck. You have to remember how small I am. I was tiny, like. And all the other boys were there, two other lads, and just got introduced. I made friends and all straight away. And that was it, we were off. We took us off to Porterstown, took the posh estates. Like, where we lived was the new estate, but they were the posh estates. These were the big gates where and the Mercedes and 3 or 4 cars in the garden and big houses. Like, it was like a different world for me. Like, I'd never seen them before. So like when I went there, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, and then my first day, like, one of the youngsters on the truck, he was giving me the heads up on what was the story. And he told me, like, this is what you have to do. And what's what? And he told me who Rita was. He said, people think it's his wife, but it's not, it's his girlfriend. And he says, Tommy, just tell me how it works. He says, be fast. if you get your tips, you get tips, keep in your separate pocket. Learn to do the calculations yourself so you can bring the right change with you. You get the hang of it real quick. So we went to Portstown. So when we got there, he said, Joey, you going with Rita? So I get off the truck and me and Rita going walking around the posh estates.
So what exactly was the job? Like, what were you doing?
Collecting. Brian goes out, was going out at night time delivering the milk with a lad called Jesse. I never met Jesse because he was the night time delivery. He'd done deliveries with Brian. So he'd deliver the milk and me and Rita would go and collect the money then every Friday and Saturday. So we were collecting the milk money, whatever was owed the bill. Like, so that's literally what we were doing. We're going door to door with a slip, knocking on the door saying, here's your bill. You owe us whatever. So what would happen was that Brian would go with the young fellas. He'd do all the rough estates and we'd go and do the posh estates. And that's when I met her properly. Then I met Rita properly. She was pregnant. She had a bum bag on. Every 2 minutes, smoke hanging out of her mouth. Red lipstick, loads of makeup, long blonde hair. She was nice. She was a lovely woman, yeah. And we just started working together. I remember the first night going collecting the money with Rita, just the two of us. When we came back, he says to her, how did my boy do? And she said, he's done brilliant. She said, he was great. Ran so fast. That's how we finished so early. So the first night went brilliant. Everything went great. Was so happy. Came home. Brian came to the door, introduced himself to me. Ma told that I had done really well. Paid me, I think I got £10. But then whatever I had in tips, I remember going in and me and my ma obviously introduced herself to Brian. Brian introduced herself to me, ma. They said, where are you from? It's the usual, just the basics, like, and just he just explained, yeah, he's just helping out Friday, Saturday. And she said, well, as long as he's behaved in school, otherwise there'll be a stop put to it. And then he looked at me and says, you know what, he says to me, make sure you behave, otherwise I can't keep you on. And I remember going into the kitchen then and just emptying my pockets on the table. There was just change everywhere. And then I was like, right, I split it all up and I said, ma, so that's for you and this is mine. And she was like, wait, that's yours. I was like, no, but I'm actually going to work. Like, and it's just my mum's always giving me everything. So like, I said, like, it'll help pay the bills. Like, you get your hair done, I'll get something done. But she wouldn't take it. She was like, no, that's yours now. Like, she's like, you have to work for it. So it was coming up to the summer holidays. Brian just told me that was a job after coming up at the night time doing deliveries that I want to do with him. And then it just changed. He was different. He'd just say things that would make me uncomfortable. And we were delivering up in Huntstown. The other milkman, he had a Hiace van and he was going past it in a Hiace van. He was coming down the road and there was this young fella hanging out of the side of the van. And I'd never seen him before. And the next minute, Brian just stopped the van. And Brian just lost it. His face just went red. All he could hear was screams. Screaming, 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 shouting. I'd never heard that like in my life. You could hear smack, smack. You could hear the bones and all. You could hear everything just crunching and smacking. That's when I realised that I got more than a bargain for. Was Brian Kenny, milkman.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. The twigs and leaves in your yard aren't exactly comfortable, and while mud does perfectly contour the feet, it doesn't score high on the durability front. But thanks to Allbirds, you can skip all the backyard experimentation. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff like research and testing to create shoes from natural, sustainable materials. And their innovative processes mean using less of the bad stuff and more of the good, while making shoes unlike any other. Like the Plant Pacer, made with 100% plastic-free plant leather. The Tree Dasher, a running shoe made from eucalyptus tree fiber. And from Sugarcane, they've made the Superlight, their lightest shoe ever by weight and carbon footprint. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.